Good afternoon. It is day 8 of the MLB lockout. On the update this Thursday, America's most natural settings and historic icons are getting a much-needed makeover. Work has begun, as the Department of the Interior says. Over $1.5 billion dedicated a year for the next 5 years from the Great American Outdoor Act will go toward critical projects in national parks, forests, wildlife, refugees, and other areas. We'll have the latest details. In Midtown, police say that a man is facing charges, including arson, for setting fire to the 50-foot Christmas tree in front of Fox News headquarters. Mackenzie Blackwood, he made 25 saves, and the Devils snapped a 4-game losing streak while sending the reeling Flyers to their 10th loss in a row. And it's the true burning question. How will the world decide when the pandemic is actually over? There's no actual clear-cut definition for when a pandemic starts and ends, and how much of a threat a global outbreak is posing can vary by country. We'll tell you what the World Health Organization says the definition is. This is the update, Thursday, December the 9th, 2021. From the Tommy Lin Studios on the streets of New York City, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A 3-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Hello there, guys. Everyone. That's a more gender-fluid term to describe it. Welcome to the update on a Thursday. Thank you so much for being here. Out at the Staten Island Mall, where we're going to end the first half. Yeah, technically I can call this the first half of our season at the Staten Island Mall, where everybody's in the holiday rush, including I. I myself have been poking into a couple stores for the last little bit, and hopefully you get your shopping done too. I'm Brandon Julian, of course. Thank you so much for being here. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening to us, we appreciate you so much for doing so. There's lots to catch you up on, of course. We're going to begin this Thursday with America's most spectacular natural settings and historic icons across this country. As we all know, they need a much-needed makeover, and they're about to get one. Work has begun as the Great American Outdoor Act was passed by Congress last year. It dedicated up to over $1.5 billion a year for the next 5 years to extensive maintenance and repairs that have been put off year after year. The Department of the Interior says the funding will go toward critical projects in national parks, forests, wildlife, refugees, and other areas. Some of the first projects that have been completed back in October included cleaning the marble walls of the Jefferson Memorial and restoring historic Mensory Grills at New River Gorge. But dozens of other renovations are on the way as well. On to some of the other news of this Thursday. In the union that's representing New York City's jail workers is now suing in an attempt to block the COVID vaccine mandate. The lawsuit filed yesterday calls for returning to allowing regular virus testing and blasts the city-required 12-hour shifts that were implemented in anticipation of mandate-related staffing shortages. The city had made a November 30th deadline for Department of Correction workers to get at least one vaccine dose or face suspension without pay. The city said that it was confident that the mandate would be upheld. Other unions, such as the one representing uniformed police officers, have tried to stop the mandate themselves through lawsuits, but they have not been successful. To the Ghislaine Maxwell trial we go now. where a former boyfriend of a woman who says that she was paid to give sexual favors to Jeffrey Epstein, starting at the age of 14, corroborated parts of her account at that trial. The man said yesterday, on multiple occasions in the early 2000s, he drove three girls he knew to Epstein's estate in Palm Beach in Florida. The teenagers would emerge an hour later with $100 bills. The girls included a woman who testified on Tuesday that she made hundreds of dollars giving sexualized massages to Epstein. Maxwell's lawyer say that she was not aware of any sexual misconduct. In other news, pharmaceutical company Allegrin Finance LLC will pay $200 million to the state and two of its counties as part of a law, part of an agreement that removes it from an ongoing state lawsuit over the ongoing opioid crisis. In the agreement, Allegrin did not admit to any liability. In a statement, the company said that it was, quote, pleased to have reached the settlement. The agreement with Allegrin means only Teva Pharmaceuticals is remaining as a defendant in a trial that's been taking place over in Suffolk County on Long Island in recent months. Closing arguments were scheduled to start yesterday. Other settlements had been reached earlier in the trial process and before it even began. There's a judge who's now appointed a former federal judge to ensure no First Amendment protections are being violated in the review of materials that were seized by authorities from individuals connected with the conservative group Project Vertius. U.S. District Judge Annalisa Torres said that she was appointing Barbara Jones to oversee the separation of privileged materials found during raids on current and former employees of the group. Project Vertius founder James O'Keefe had said previously that agents had searched his home and the homes of others in connection with a probe into how the group received a diary purported to belong to President Biden's daughter. Lawyer for Project Vertius founder James O'Keefe declined to comment. A ferry ride over from where we are, over in Midtown, near the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree, there's another prominent tree that stands high and proud, the one that's outside of Fox News headquarters, which also housed the Wall Street Journal and the New York Post. Well, that Christmas tree is still standing, well, sort of. A man is now facing charges, according to the NYPD, including arson, for setting fire to that 50-foot Christmas tree outside of Fox News. The artificial tree outside of the News Corp building caught fire shortly after midnight Wednesday. No injuries, thankfully, were reported. A 49-year-old man was arrested on charges including criminal mischief, arson, and trespassing. It's not clear if he has an attorney who can comment on these charges. Fox News Media CEO Suzanne Scott said that a new tree would be installed tonight. And finally, we'll head up north to near Niagara Falls, where a U.S. Coast Guard helicopter crew braved the poor visibility and the frigid rapids to reach a car that was partly submerged in water, then lowered a rescue swimmer on a hoist who pulled out the driver trapped inside. Sadly, though, that driver did not survive. Petty Officer 2nd Class Darian Durea, a Detroit-based rescue swimmer, spent about 2 minutes recovering the body from the car as water surged past. Authorities said yesterday that the lone occupant was a woman in her 60s who lived in the area. It's still unclear, though, how the car actually got into the river. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Thursday, we have a few important messages to tell you about from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and talk about how the Devils broke a losing streak of their own while sending the Flyers to their first double-digit consecutive loss. Gonna talk about also what happened on this day in history. And then we're gonna talk the latest national news. including out in Minneapolis. Prosecutors are building their case against Officer Kim Potter, who killed the black motorist Dante Wright. They repeatedly played that body camera video of the fatal shooting. Gonna talk about this, and a lot more too, of course, when the Updo with Brian and Julian returns in just a moment. From the streets of New York to wherever you are, the update with Brandy Julian. We'll be right back.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Of all the newscasters in New York, I just happened to be one of them. This is the update with Brandon Julian.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for traffic and weather together.
Until January of 2022, there is no service on the D line between Bay 50th Street and Coney Island Stillwell Avenue because of flooding protection in the Coney Island Yard. D trains are running between 205th Street and Bay 50th Street, with select trains running to Bay Parkway. For service to Coney Island, use an F, N, or Q train, or free shuttle bus service at Bay 50th Street. When you ride the subway or bus, you must wear a mask or covering, even if you're fully vaccinated, that covers your nose and mouth for your entire trip. Please, do your part to keep New York healthy. See mta.info to learn more. Stay safe, and thank you for riding with us. You can also tap and go with Omni to board every subway and bus. No more wondering if you have any money left on your Metro card. Just tap your contactless bank card or your smart device on the Omni reader and wait for the green go screen. If you're transferring to or from the subway or between buses, free transfers are available. Just remember to use the same card or device at all points of your journey. For more information, you can visit omni.info. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.75. Transfers must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. On select bus service, pay at the kiosks outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $6.75. Coins are no longer accepted as a payment on express buses.
With the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Most of our local teams, they were on the ice. They were in action. And with the exception of the New Jersey Devils, it did not go all that well. So let's talk about that. Let's start down in Houston on the hardwood. Eric Gordon scored 21 points before being ejected in the fourth quarter. Garrison Matthews added 19, and the Rockets extended their winning streak to 7 with a 114-104 win over the shorthanded Nets. Before the streak, the Rockets had dropped their previous 15 games. It's the first time that Houston has won 7 in a row since winning 8 in a row back in November of 2019. James Harden scored 25 points for the Nets, who played without Kevin Durant and LaMarcus Aldridge. Over at the Garden, turning to the ice briefly, Logan O'Connor scored twice in a 22-second span in a 5-goal second period, and the Avalanche beat the Rangers 7-3, ending their 7-game winning streak. Mikko Rantanen also scored twice for Colorado. Nathan MacKinnon, Nazem Kadri, and Alex Newhook added goals, and Darcy Kuemper made 26 saves. Kadri, Devin Toews, and Samuel Girard, I should say, also had 2 assists each. Rangers defenseman Jacob Trouba had a goal and an assist one night after appearing to drive his right shoulder into the chin of the Blackhawks' Juhar Kahira, sending the Blackhawks' forward to the hospital and into concussion protocol. Nils Lundqvist and Philip Chytil also scored for the Rangers. Rookie Adam Huska made his NHL debut and he finished with 32 saves. Over in Indianapolis, Chris Girardi scored 23 points, Miles Turner at 22, and the Pacers beat the Knicks 122-102. Girardi, who is a rookie shooting guard, eclipsed his 13-point scoring average with 14 in the first when the Pacers seized control with a 15-2 run. Indiana outscored the Knicks in each of the first 3 quarters to lead 96-76 and maintained a double-digit lead from midway through the second quarter until the final buzzer. The Pacers shot 60% in the first half. Knicks shot nearly 48%. Each of the Pacers' starters scored in double figures, with Malcolm Brogdon scoring 16 points and Chris LeVert had 15. And over in the rockin' Newark, Mackenzie Blackwood, he made 25 saves and the Devils snapped a 4-game losing streak by sending the reeling Flyers to their 10th straight loss with a 3-0 win. Jasper Bratt had a second period goal and assisted on a power play goal by rookie Dawson Mercer later in the period. Michael McLeod scored into an empty net late as the Devils beat the Flyers for the second time in 10 days. Carter Hart had 23 saves for the Flyers, who fell to 0-2 under their interim coach Mike Yeo. He took over Monday after Elaine Vigneault was fired. The Flyers' 2-game skid is too shy of their franchise longest losing streak. Terms of today's action, Islanders, they're over at UBS Arena trying to get in the win column in their new home when they take on the Predators tonight at 7:30. When we return on the update this Thursday, we're going to talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we're going to be talking the latest national news, including how President Biden is planning to urge participants at the first White House summit for democracy to reverse an ongoing, quote, recession of democracy. We're going to talk about this and a lot more, too, of course, when the update with Brian and Julian returns after these messages. From the streets of New York to wherever you are, the update with Brandon Julian. We'll be right back.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Yeah, whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Beijing common sense. Beijing common sense. Anybody know if there's any common sense left in the room? This is the update with Brandon Julian. Indeed it is. Welcome back to the update on a Thursday, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. You know, with this weather literally being so hot and cold, like literally it's been warm one day, then it's been cold the next day, I'm really afraid this winter I'm going to get sick. And let me tell you people, when I get sick, I get hit hard. I'm not sure what analogy I can use for it, but imagine if you were hit in the balls, like really, really hard in the balls, and it takes a while for your body to recover and get back to normal. That's exactly what my body is like when it gets sick. Luckily for me, I don't get sick all that often, but when I do get sick, it literally is the worst feeling ever. Excuse me, a lot of phlegm in my throat. So this is the perfect time, I think, to take a vacation and get my throat back up to working speed. As we said throughout this week, barring any major news happening between now and, not now, between this coming Tuesday and January 3rd, 2022. That is when I'll be taking my vacation for Christmas and the holidays. Our archives will take you through that time. We're going to finish up year number one and slowly start dipping into year two, where you might notice a couple subtle changes that we made in year number two. Chris also joins me in a number of those episodes, and me and him really do a good job of playing back and forth off of each other. But that's then, and we'll talk about that more tomorrow and Monday, too. But for now, let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this December the 9th. The highlight of this day came in 2014, when Senate investigators concluded that the United States had brutalized scores of terror suspects with interrogation tactics that turned secret CIA prisons into chambers of suffering, and did nothing to make Americans safer after the 9/11 attacks. In 1911, an explosion inside the Cross Mountain coal mine near Briceville, Tennessee, killed 84 workers. 5 of them were rescued. In 1917, British forces captured Jerusalem from the Ottoman Turks. In 1958, the anti-communist John Birch Society was formed in Indianapolis. In 1962, the Petrified Forest in Arizona was designated as a national park. In 1965, A Charlie Brown Christmas, the first animated TV special featuring characters from the Peanuts comic strip by Charles M. Schulz, premiered on CBS. In 1987, the first Palestinian Intifada, or uprising, began as riots broke out in Gaza and spread to the West Bank, triggering a strong Israeli response. In 1990, Solidarity member Lech Walesa won Poland's presidential runoff by a landslide. In 1992, Britain's Prince Charles and Princess Diana announced their separation. The couple's divorce became final in August of 1996. In 2000, the U.S. Supreme Court ordered a temporary halt in the Florida vote count, which Al Gore pinned his best hopes of winning the White House. In 2001, the United States disclosed the existence of a videotape in which Osama bin Laden said that he was pleasantly surprised by the extent of damage from the 9/11 attacks. In 2006, a fire broke out at a Moscow drug treatment hospital, killing 46 women trapped inside by barred windows and a locked gate. And in 2013, scientists revealed that NASA's Curiosity rover had uncovered signs of an ancient freshwater lake on Mars. National news is next for us when the update with Brian and Julian continues. From the streets of New York to wherever you are, the update with Brandy Julian. We'll be right back.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at AutismSpeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon and Julian on a Thursday, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. We're talking right now the latest national news. Let us get into that. We're going to begin over in Minneapolis. The prosecutors that are building their case against Officer Kim Potter, who killed the black motorist Dante Wright, repeatedly played that body camera video of that fatal shooting. Potter could be heard shouting, "Taser!" And then after she instead fires a bullet from her handgun, is seen and heard collapsing in wails of, "Oh my God." The white officer quit 2 days after the April shooting. Her attorney says that she made a mistake but was acting to pretend a fellow officer. Earlier, prosecutors had told jurors that Potter had violated her training and, quote, betrayed a 20-year-old kid when she fatally shot Wright while she and other officers were trying to arrest him. They say Potter had undergone extensive training that warned about such a mix-up. In other news, in Washington, President Biden is planning to urge participants at the first White House Summit for Democracy to reverse an ongoing, quote, recession of democracy. The TV virtual summit has already drawn backlash from some of the United States' adversaries and other nations that weren't even invited. Ambassadors to the U.S. from China and Russia wrote a joint essay describing the Biden administration as exhibiting a, quote, Cold War mentality that will, quote, stoke up ideological confrontation. The summit comes as U.S. democracy faces challenges to its institutions and traditions. States are passing laws that are making it more difficult to vote, of course. And the January attack at the Capitol left many Republicans clinging to Donald Trump's false claims of a stolen election. Out west we go now to Davis in California, where banana peels, chicken bones, and leftover veggies, they won't have a place in trash cans in that state under a mandatory residential food waste recycling program that's set to go into effect across the state starting in January. It's designed to keep the landfills clear of food waste that emits methane, a potent greenhouse gas that contributes to climate change. Governments that provide trash collection by January must have programs in place to recycle food scraps and other organic material by turning it into compost or energy. California's effort comes amid, of course, growing recognition about how much food ends up in landfills in the United States and the role it plays in damaging the atmosphere. And a little further south, in Los Angeles, a conservation group is planning to purchase a 5-mile stretch of the Lost Coast in remote northern California that has been logged for more than a century. Save the Redwoods League planned to announce today that it's trying to raise millions of dollars by the end of the year to purchase the rugged and scenic property in Mendocino County that it says is the largest privately owned stretch of coast from Oregon to Big Sur. The group has agreed to pay nearly $37 million for the land being sold by the Soper Corporation, a family logging company that is leaving the timber industry. There is more national news for us to talk about, and we will address those, of course, when the updated Brandon Julian returns in just 60 seconds.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the updated Brandon Julian, everyone, on this Thursday. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. We're talking right now the latest national news. We're going to head, still in the West, but move over to Glendale in Arizona, where the NHL team there, the Arizona Coyotes, could be looking for a new home much sooner than they actually expected. The city of Glendale informed the team that it intends to lock the Coyotes out of Gila River Arena by the 20th, if all outstanding debts to the city and the management company that operates the arena are not paid. Glendale City Manager Kevin Phelps sent a letter to the Coyotes informing them that they owe a little over $1.3 million, including $250,000 to the city. The contents of the letter were first reported by The Athletic. The Coyotes issued a statement attributing the debts to a, quote, unfortunate human error, and said that they would pay their bills immediately. To the Big Island we go now, Coconut Island in Hawaii, where scientists are trying to speed up corals' evolutionary clock to build reefs that can better withstand the impacts of global warming. For the past 5 years, researchers there in Hawaii and Australia have been conducting experiments to prove their Darwinian theories work. They say that they do. And now they're getting ready to plant selectively bred and other lab-evolved corals back into the ocean to see if they can survive in nature. If successful, the scientists say the more heat-tolerant corals could help save vital reefs that are dying alongside of climate change. Let's talk about your pet, if you have one. Along with the basic expenses, of course, like food and toys, new pet owners need to prepare for the cost of medical care. Each year, dog owners spend an average of about $242 on routine visits to a veterinarian and $458 on surgical visits. A cat owner spends slightly less, according to the American Pet Products Association. You can avoid surprise medical bills with a pet insurance policy, which steps in to cover expenses if your dog or cat gets sick or injured. To get the cheapest possible premium, choose a lower reimbursement rate. Ask insurers about discounts and shop around because rates vary very widely. And finally, let's talk about the burning question that a lot of people would want to know. When is the light at the end of a tunnel and the pandemic comes to an end? Well, you see, there's no exact clear-cut definition for when a pandemic starts and ends, and how much a threat a global outbreak is posing can vary by country, of course. In January of 2020, you may remember, the World Health Organization designated the coronavirus outbreak a global health crisis, quote, of international concern. Then, a couple months later, they described it as a pandemic, reflecting the spread of the virus. The pandemic may be widely considered over when the WHO decides that COVID is no longer an emergency of international concern, a designation that its experts have been reassessing. But the acute phase of the crisis ease within countries could vary. And so, as they say, we just have to sit back and wait. Gonna let you guys ponder on that, as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite. That is the way it is. Thursday, December the 9th, 2021. That is the update on this Thursday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Please be well. Get some of your shopping done if you've not already started to do so. You have 16 days until Christmas. And I will see you right back here at Staten Island Mall to lead you into another Getaway Friday here in the big town.